Real quick, before I forget, we need another topic, and we need someone to lead the class for next month. And knowing us, a few months, because I've never seen us do a topic in a single class, so I know Dick had one, because in March, in February, when we finished the very first class, he's like, can we do my topic in March? I'm like, we're not done with this one yet. But I also don't know when Dick will be available again. So.
Yeah. And it's important to him. You remember when we have in our Tuesday studies at my house, he thought that the next topic we were going to involve ourselves in was basically a practical approach to personal work. Calls it Personal Work 101. He even had some curriculum with regard to it, where you get into scenarios and role play and those kinds of things.
Play.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what he's wanting to do. And so he kind of was under the impression if we started it up again, that gets to go first. And no one promised him that, but that's what he assumed. So that's, I think, what he's wanting to do is something associated with personal work when we do it. But again, he wouldn't want to miss out on that. So.
Well, right. So at any rate, we need a volunteer. I haven't even looked at when the Sundays are, but I think I'm out of town the next 2 second Sundays. I think I'm in Georgia for one of them, and Missouri or Arkansas for the other.
Does anyone have a topic that burning a hole in their head?
One of the things to think taking on too is when I was in Lubbock and the men's studies that we had there, when I was going to school, I kind of liked the way that it was a less structured study that was, they would take a book and just go chapter by chapter, and a different man would lead it each time. But it wasn't wasn't as in depth as like we would study on a quarter with a book and going through verse by verse and looking at definitions. I mean, it would be more of a gather together, read through it together. Okay, here's what we can get for it. Here's what I learned from it. Here's lessons we can gain from this. I mean, some discussions are going to go more in depth than others, depending on the verse and the topic and what's included in whatever the passage is that we read. But it's something that doesn't. I like that, and it's something that you can kind of, no matter who's leading, and it's really not leading it. You've got somebody with something that's, maybe a few questions prepared or a few things to think about, but it's more just a discussion among the group about a particular set of passages.
Yeah, the two men's studies I did back in Arkansas, one was like that. The other one was even less structured, but it's a little harder the bigger the group is. That was a group of about 5 men, like max 6. It was literally everyone showed up and we went, so what's been going on? What do you want to talk about?
See, I would like to have something that we're going to talk about Romans 1 next month or whatever, to have something to, at least read through and think about before we get there to talk about it instead of just showing up with like that. But you're right, that with that same kind of communication once we get here.
Well, there are books like First Peter and James that we could do in a relatively short amount of time that have a lot of practical teaching and good things. I mean, I could, something like that. Going to be first to that.
Alright, so be thinking about that. Summary of the May meeting, class. We talked about situational commands. We talked about generic commands for specific commands. And how do we determine what's incidental and not part of the command that's meant to be followed? And we said that in this class, we were going to look at the questions and try to get through as many of those as we could. I did go through the questions. We had, 12. I didn't write them all down what we were going to go over because I didn't think we could get through 12. And honestly, I don't think we can get through the ones that we have. But we're going to start them up and get as far as we can. The first one I wanted to do is, I hope, easy, because we already answered it in class 3. So hopefully I'll just remember the answer, but we'll see. And the question was, what about debit cards? these are all questions that the group asked. I wrote these down when someone else in class said them. So what about debit cards? Would we be okay with having debit cards as a way of collecting here at Westside? And there's two parts to that question. One, are they allowed? And two, are they expedient?
I would agree that it's allowed, but I would not agree that it would be expedient, at least with today's current technology.
Again, I think some of the denominations have had the ability to go into a few denominational or non-denominational denominational.
I like that, non-denominational. That's probably pretty good.
And they have tithing computers set up with it just for that purpose. It just depends on your setup, but
I don't think there's anything wrong with it as far as scriptural, but I guess it doesn't seem right to me.
We find the baskets challenging sometimes.
Yes.
So having an iPhone with a square in the basket is not going to make things decently and in order.
And if you did that, you definitely wouldn't post it on Backboard because you. You would have no idea. That's a third of what you actually collected, half all the way. You know, some people are, you know, putting it in with the debit card and stuff, you know, say, hey, we collected $300. Well, actually more, but you know, half the people put it in the credit card.
It would definitely change things. I know that there are some non-institutional churches that are doing that now. In fact, there's one just down the street, and there's one lady that left that came down here because she didn't like what they were doing down the street.
That also
I think she went back, but she
that also goes back to the. You know, are we going to do it in our worship or not? If we were doing it,
we're not to that question.
Well, I'm just saying. No, I get it. I'm just saying, like the way we did things in the pandemic, it would have been more. You know, I don't think it would have been hard to do it decently in order to have a, you know,
no,
QR code
it
back
easy.
There or whatever.
It would make it easy for the shut-ins
because everybody's doing it on their own time.
It's because I know, like some of the shut-ins, they give their checks to like Yvonne, and Yvonne brings them in and puts them in the basket.
Well, I would like to stipulate on my behalf that money's money, and I don't think that I have any qualms with regard to the way in which, I mean, people, I have a feeling that maybe when checks were first being put in the plate, that some had possible objections or at least concerns about it, and the one that comes to my mind is cryptocurrency. So, but, I mean, again, money's money, so in that regard, that I don't think is the problem. It's just with the convictions that I hold and such as far as this being an aspect of a sacrifice and a worshipful sacrifice, then the timing and those kinds of things are where problems come with me if we were to do it.
I'll find some of my German money and throw it in, just see what happens.
Yeah. Okay, at this point, everybody pay my credit card, take out credit.
Well, like I said, they're doing something. I don't know. And I imagine by doing it, they're taking it outside of the assembly and doing it.
All right. So, on to question two. What is the answer we gave last time? Allowed but not expedient at this time. Question number two is, may an individual give less often than weekly? This came up really, again, most of these questions came up from multiple vantage points. So, there's the vantage point of, what if you prosper less often than weekly, right? You get paid monthly. Or, what if you do get paid weekly, but you give on the first Sunday of the month your entire month's worth so that you've put God first or whatever your conviction is.
I can tell you,
as the
person who counts the money, I know there's people like you.
Well, yeah, there's
every
other week,
I'm
month to month.
So.
Because the first Sunday of the month is always a lot higher than the rest of the Sundays.
Yeah.
Well,
Josh.
The verse says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. If you prosper every week, there's your answer. If you don't,
but it does say lay something aside, like Justin was saying, you could put it aside and put it in a plate once a month, or every 2 weeks.
Well, then that would also defeat the purpose of the command.
Yeah, I think what you are saying the same thing. That's a point. But the laying aside is again, my information is that laying aside is the actual contribution. I mean, having something prepared to give on the first day of the week. I'll just give you my view of it and feelings is that since the congregation has paid me monthly for 37 years, early on I really struggled with this. It's hard for a preacher with a small family or a family with small children, especially a preacher who's as financially challenged as I am with regard to the business side of things, to make ends meet. And there were, it was often where money ran out right before the end of the month. And intent was one thing, but reality was something entirely different. And that's what I found that I had a problem with, is I get paid at the first of the month, and I would divvy it up into four parts with that full intent of doing that. And there were a couple of times that I didn't make it, and it really bothered me. And, since it is as we've been prospered, I want to give first to the Lord, and that's when I get my money, so that's when I put it in. And it's a very simple rationale, but I think as you have been prospered, when I get my money, I give it first to the Lord, and I do it on the Lord's day.
So, with the two things that were stated, is there anyone that wants to take another angle on it? We had yes, it's okay if you prosper less frequently than weekly. We had, if you prosper weekly, you are to give weekly. So it would not be okay for that person to give monthly.
Again, I mean, I think it just depends on the situation, because I could, if I have a weekly paycheck, but one week I have an unexpected emergency expense, medical, whatever it is, I might, there could be something that comes up that's unforeseen. And so that week, even though I got a paycheck, I didn't, does that make sense?
Well, there are some people, paycheck to paycheck, that maybe one payday they pay the mortgage out and they don't have anything left over that week, but the next week they do, and that's, so.
Right. I'm not saying that.
So it might be different amounts, maybe weekly or so.
Right, yeah.
Right.
We're not be able to pay one weekly, because I know a lot of
When Jim said what he's saying lay by at home and have it all ready to give on the first day of the week, and there may not be that. And that's about, I think the idea that is first in that is you purpose to give to God first. And when you give it on the Lord's day. I think that's what's being advocated for in the text.
So the interesting thing about giving weekly as you prosper weekly is that talking time-wise, people tend to have more of a problem with it being given early than with it being given late. I'm not 100% sure why that is. But let's say you come in on the first Sunday, you get paid weekly, but you come in on the first Sunday and you give all 4 or 5 weeks, whichever kind of month it is, on that first Sunday. Some people have a problem with that because the next Sunday you've prospered, but you didn't give anything. Even though you already gave what you intended out of that paycheck, you just used the first paycheck to do it. But very few people have a problem if you were sick on the first Sunday, giving double on the second Sunday. And it's still not giving on the week you prospered, but it's a question of one being in your control versus one being out of your control kind of thing. But it's an interesting dichotomy there. And I mean, the interesting thing that comes along with that is the question of I don't know if I want to phrase it like this, but I'll go ahead and say fellowship. Because if prospering weekly means you give weekly, but somebody's not doing that, then is that something you bring up with them? That's also kind of weird, because I have no idea when y'all get paid, except for Stan. Everyone gets to know that. But the rest of us, I have no idea when y'all get paid. Got a pretty good guess on Aaron.
Except me.
But I don't. But I don't know. I haven't seen his bank account. But it's an interesting question on all of these. I mean, certainly, if somebody thought it was improper to use a debit card and we started using debit cards, it would be an issue that came up with regard to conscience and fellowship. Question three. That is not the real time. There it is. There's a time on my screenshot. Question three is not a quick one. Must it be in the assembly?
Well, that's something we did talk a little bit about, and you'll remember I admitted to being inconsistent with regard to my application of it. I've always felt like it's an aspect of our worship, and as such should be in the assembly, but I did not object during the COVID pandemic as having it in the baskets in the back. And I don't know that anyone really had a problem with that as far as the methodology. And so I kind of...
Same way, I think
admitted inconsistency. I preferred to be in the assembly.
I think that it's possibly implied there in 1 Corinthians 16, just because of the reference to this, you know, on the first day of the week. I mean, why are we here on the first day of the week? It's gathered together to partake the Lord's Supper. You know, the other practices and passages, we reasons we do that.
But there is
a
distinction we make, right?
Right.
There's a reason we do the announcements before the prayer.
No, you're right.
We say the classes aren't part of the worship.
Exactly. And because it doesn't use that word assembly, I can't. Again, I think it's probably implied, but I can't say that for sure. You know, that's a spec. I admit that that's a speculation.
It's not necessary.
Well, I would say that the last part of 16:2 is that statement that there be no collections when I come. I mean, if you don't do it here, then everybody's going to have to collect later.
Well, but the question we're asking is not whether you're doing it here; it's whether it's part of the worship service.
Okay.
I'll just give you a point here that might help to explain a little bit. Jeremiah and Brett Hoagland were discussing this because of the COVID thing situation, and Brett went through a pretty extensive study. And this is finally what he had came to, and Jeremiah agrees the conclusion. The reason I bring that up is because this is how they handled it when they studied through it, and that is that we cannot bind that it is in the assembly, but we can bind that it is to be done on the first day of the week. That's the conclusion they made. I know that there's some discussion here about that. But as a result of that, they were able, for example, the church at Elm Street at that time had a man just go down there for a period of time and be there so that when the money is given, and people would come in the cars and drop the money off on the first day of the week because it said so, but it wasn't a part of an assembly because they weren't having an assembly. So they were fulfilling to the letter the command that is given there. But again, as Josh and I have kind of indicated too, it seems the intent is this is when you're coming together, so this is when you give it. Whether it's in the assembly or not, it's not explicitly stated in that regard. So
I could imagine in the first century them just having a poor box, and when people came into place of worship, they put into the poor box with a collection, and I don't think they pass baskets like we do.
But I don't know if they. I don't know what they did.
We don't know what I'm saying. But we know there are references to poor boxes and stuff in Bible. So,
well, one thing we haven't discussed to any great extent, at least that I'm aware of in this series of discussions, is when we dealt so much with the permutations of 1 Corinthians 16 and consequences of the wording and such. And, you know, whenever I talk about, I've always advocated that the contribution is one of five acts of worship that we engage in. And so I've done a little bit of study with regard to, for example, tithing as a type of that. And the sacrificial nature of our giving, it is to be sacrificial. The devotional aspect of it with regard to doing it cheerfully and willfully. And so it seems to me that there is an aspect of worship involved in it. And it is properly concerned. And so I'm most comfortable if it's done in the assembly, because in the assembly it gives us an opportunity to pray, gives us an opportunity to... which is why, if you'll remember, I'm the one that suggested... I may have suggested strongly that even if the contributions being put in the baskets in the back, that we at least have a prayer with regard to it, because again, I think it's important to be mindful of it. But going through all of the scriptures that I have, I cannot say that it is an act of worship that must be done in the assembly, because the only closest thing about that is 1 Corinthians 16, and it doesn't specify the assembly. 2 Corinthians 8 and the others, when it talks about the nature of our giving, it seems to me it's best and it's helpful to do it in an assembly, and that it is indeed an act of worship. I do believe that it's, we're offering a sacrifice of ourselves, and when we do that, it's a worshipful activity. So I prefer it to be in the assembly.
I do know when we had the baskets in the back during COVID, there were several people after services were over, like, oh, I've got to put
and
drop. So it is also kind of a reminder.
The most expedient way of doing it, It's going to happen, and people are used to it. I get that.
Because then I know several people as they were walking out, like, oh, I've got to put my check in.
But those who would say it's not an act of worship, that's the only thing I would suggest, is that you read the scriptures that talk about the devotional aspect of it, and maybe the Old Testament concept of tithing and such, to, because I think that at least indicates it is a worshipful activity.
It's fascinating to me that congregations had people drive by to do the collection. I know some also had drive-by Lord's Supper, which was very weird to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you had to wait for everyone to get in the parking lot before you started, or like how the rules worked with that, but it was so peculiar.
No,
I still have people ask me, well, what'd y'all do when you weren't meeting? It's like, we met.
Right.
That's what we did.
Is never point with people?
And that's why I'm proud of our congregation. I feel like we... Of course, it's caused issues, and we've been discussing issues, but at the same time, there were enough who were very, very concerned about it to where the effort was made from day one to continue to meet.
And the tallest police officer I've ever seen in my life showed up.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
So the sub-question to that was, if no, which is what we said, must it be an assembly? No. There's a strong preference for sure. Probably implied, not necessarily implied. So, if no, what about auto draft?
I'd say no, because there's no way you can assure that it's done on the first day of the week.
You can set up auto draft to be on the first day of the week. You can't necessarily set up direct deposit to be, but you can set up auto draft.
And any swipe you make at the gas station on Sunday, you can go in there tomorrow.
Or check you put in.
Or check you put in the plate for sure. So you can say, hey, Wells Fargo, do it on Sunday. It's going to do it on Monday anyway.
So here's the real question there. Let's just to be clear, and because I'm trying to get through all the questions. The question is not whether or not it comes out on Sunday or Monday, because you can tell it come out on Sunday, and who knows, right? But same with the check. The question is, has it ceased to be an act at that point?
Are you mindful?
Is it okay for you to not actually be doing anything each week?
Yeah.
I have a hard time with that one for the same reasons that Stan, you talked about. Some people really need auto pay on their bills and things, or else it's just not going to happen. There's going to be something else come up. And the idea that it's already committed and it's already, and they set up their finances such that, they have a separate escrow just to make sure it happened. They don't touch auto draft. I can see that being an extraordinarily valid argument for the same reasons that yours is. They went through the mindfulness when they set it up.
Yeah, I would hope that there would be mindfulness on the Lord's Day in that regard as well. But that's the only thing that would be a little. I mean, I don't like it. I just don't like it. But I have
like
to acknowledge.
I
have to acknowledge my.
I don't like it.
Being a little bit antiquated with regard to my view of those things, but it's anything that makes it less probable that you're going to be mindful of what you're giving and going through that devotional aspect of it is something that I find problematic. But that would discourage you; wouldn't preclude it. In other words, in my case, just recently I went from. Paying monthly my mortgage to auto draft my mortgage, and it's a load off my mind doing that way, it's one of the first things to come out, so I'm sure it's going to get out there every time, but it is something to where I'm not as cognizant of it each month as I was when I was paying it by hand. So I'm not saying that an individual would be not mindful, especially if others were doing this and they could set that time to be mindful of it. So
see it all.
I don't know. It's We're gonna have to struggle with this concept of technology and new ways of doing things and new. Is it a violation of the pattern or not? Is it an expedient way to fulfill the pattern or not? And be open to the possibilities rather than bound by tradition. That's, I think, the thing that's so worrisome is, no, that's not the way we've always done it, so we can't do it that way anymore. And I think that's the response some have. But it is a challenging question.
Josh?
I was sad. I didn't think I would necessarily have this thought about it until I started having this thought about it, thinking about it. As head of my household, it's weird because I don't bring in any dollars. I do go to work at the house, wrangling 4 children, keeping the house from keeping the house from falling apart, getting the house physically with the projects that I have, creating furniture for my house, just things that I do handy around the house that do not include anything of what my wife does for the house. I'm busy, but I don't bring in any dollars. I contribute to the house and bring in $0. My wife does. All of that income falls under me. I don't write the check, actually. I don't write the check. My wife does that. Have I given on the first day of the week?
You haven't prospered.
Well, technically, I haven't prospered, but at the same time, I live because I have prospered.
Yeah.
Well, I thought of that from the opposite or from the other direction. We're 50-50 unless she's working a lot extra, which last year she did. So, but I'm the finance guy. I'm better at it, and I make all the budgets. And I mean, we talk about it and discuss it, but I'm the one in charge of all that. And she kind of most of the time she just goes along with it. And so I got to be careful to make sure she is still doing her responsibility of thinking about it and giving as she has prospered and contemplating and fulfilling her obligation to that, because it can get to the point where she's just out whatever you think, and she's not, because she has a we all have a responsibility to do that.
Well, I'm talking about household income,
right?
Like
exactly,
I am
right.
Over those funds. Right. I am over those funds. I can direct those funds wherever I want. I'm not making the dollars, but I can direct them wherever I want. I didn't prosper, but have I given is the thing.
Right.
And I don't physically write the checks. Amanda, she's a great one.
Yeah. Wish my wife was an accountant.
But I did marry a CPA, so it's easy for her to be minded that way. Whereas I'm not, I'm more very spontaneous.
So, I mean, my thought there is that the two become one flesh.
Right.
And
sure.
It is the union that is bringing in money and the union that is giving. And, you know, if I'm holding the twins and Bonnie's the one putting the money in the basket, I don't feel like I didn't give that week, or vice versa.
Right. So, I mean, my thought was with the auto draft, I really didn't do anything, but if I know the check made it in.
But you're already, I see what you're saying, but you're already not doing anything.
Correct.
And you know the check made it in the plate.
Correct.
Right.
Let's hope everyone listens to this recording with context.
Well, you know, in 2 Corinthians 9, when it goes through that process of how you go about it in your heart, there is that concept of generosity, of promise aforehand, bountiful giving as you've purposed, not grudging, not because of necessity, but cheerfully. If all of those things are being fulfilled in a first day of the week contribution, unless you're of the mind that it must be done in the assembly, which is a presumption, though again I like it, but it's a presumption, then it seems like it would be in accord with the conscience of the individual doing it.
So just to summarize what we've said, auto draft would be quite helpful to some people. It might be harmful to some people because it could hurt their mindfulness. It's worrisome that it could hurt people's mindfulness, but there's an obvious opportunity in our assemblies to be mindful about it. You know, you did the auto draft, you're not just going to sit there for that minute and a half being like, well, I've got nothing to think about. So, presumably, if we were speaking on it, we would be cautioning against that the way we would about anything that is permissible but incredibly dangerous to some because of their personalities or weaknesses or whatever.
But then carrying around a wad of cash might be just as dangerous.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah, sure.
Every way of doing it is fraught with danger.
Yeah, the cash I have in my pocket has a tendency to become depleted quickly.
Yeah, sure. Well, I have to the ATM on the way to services. Half the time. Normally I do it on a Saturday when I'm out because the bank's not near our house or near the, they got rid of that Bank of America down the road. And so now it's out of our way. But like this morning, I didn't go anywhere yesterday. So yeah, on the way to services, we stopped by the ATM. Got the cash. I don't have any checks. You can have some stored somewhere.
Stop at the donut shop, ask for cash back.
Yeah, they normally don't give enough for that, though. So.
All right. Fourth question. Must it be on the first day of the week only? So, again, these are dual questions, but this was getting back to the questions of, like, someone has a need on Wednesday, and an immediate need on Wednesday, and it's a holiday or something, and so we can't just go to the bank. Well, whatever. The bank would be closed by that time. They need cash in hand. Are you allowed to have a collection then for that needy saint?
In that particular instance, I would say yes, but I wouldn't call it a collection of the church.
I'm sure that's what we'd handle it as any individual.
And we've done that before.
I'm positive that's how we would handle it, but that's why I put that little must at the beginning of the question. Is that necessary? Would it be wrong if people said, well, let's just take up a collection for the saints right now?
If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Something has to be done. I can't say that it would be that first day of the week collection.
That's talking more of an individual thing. Right. I think Justin's talking more of a group collecting together, giving to.
I'm just saying that's what the distinction would be.
This is something that again, Rick and I have had this sharp disagreement about, and not intended to be sharp, but nevertheless, we just disagreed on it. And so again, my view of the contribution is that the one place with regard to the methodology of it that we find is found in 1 Corinthians 16, and the argument that I've made is that my authority for the day and the occasion of the giving is based upon that text. The idea of utilizing that for some other work is not based in that text because it was for a form of evangelism. But the methodology, this is the only pattern that we have. Now, we've talked a bit about the stuff in Acts. But anyway, what point that I'm making is it seems to me that that a distinction would have to be made, at least in order to satisfy me. I would have a problem with it unless it was in a different situation.
Right. And that's one of those things where it's, okay, we would need to be careful about looks and make sure we make a distinction. Technically, if on a Wednesday night that happened and there was a need, and so we said, hey, if there's anybody that wants to give, and we pass the basket around before we leave on Wednesday night to collect it once, we didn't take up a collection like we do on Sundays. We asked the individuals to collect. Now, I don't suggest we do that at all because then that's going to cause everybody to say, hey, wait a second, what did we just do? Because the looks of it, okay, but is it individuals giving? Are we giving as a congregation? As a congregation, first day of the week is what we have the pattern for, which is all I would have to be comfortable for. And in that other situation, it would be individuals giving.
And the actual fulfilling the need, it's a moot point anyway, because it's no longer a relevant question. Certainly not something we should be divided over, but for two reasons. Number one, people would give everything in their pocket to help that person if that need was there, individual, at least a good member worth. And secondly, we've got three men with ATM cards now, so it could be taken care of in that regard. You know, we need this money for this person. Can you run down there with the ATM?
Right. Bill? So practically, not really applicable.
Because we've planned it. Because we've planned it to be.
Because we don't
non-applicable.
Because we don't collect for specific purposes. Whereas if we were collecting for the needy saints in Judea, would it be appropriate to take money that people had given to give to the needy saints in Judea and give it to this other person instead with the promise to backfill? You know, you get into weird questions like that. But because of how we've decided to do our collection in treasury, it makes it not applicable. We had a couple of comments brought up about Acts 2 in context of this, where it's saying, like, they began to sell all their possessions and give as everyone had need, and they were day by day breaking bread in one another's houses and all these kind of things. And does the day by day indicate that folks were doing that whenever? Did Ananias and Sapphira come up and do their whole lie about the money they did? Did they do that on a Sunday? Because that was the only day that you were allowed to give. Two things that were brought up in that regard. One, I was about to say who said it, but I don't want to be wrong, so I'll just say someone said that wasn't actually an example of congregational collection like we have in 1 Corinthians 16. That was essentially individual also and not congregation. The counter question that came from that was, well, but what about when it came to the widows later? And it seems very much like that was a congregational dispensation, and then we say that it was laid at the apostles' feet, which makes it less, I sold all I need, who needs stuff, individuals given to individuals, and more that it was piled into a mass fund that was then used for widows or whatever. Is there anything, right? Is there something there in the Acts stuff that says that the method talked about in 1 Corinthians 16 was because of how they were meeting and what they were collecting for and how they were going to be sending it, and it's not necessarily applicable to, like, day-to-day eating and how you fund that?
I think that I mentioned at the time we were discussing that it's one distinction to be made between 1 Corinthians 16 and what went on in Acts 2 through 5 is that one was commanded and the other was voluntary. I think if anything is taught in Acts 5 with regard to Ananias and Sapphira is that it was not required of them to sell anything. It wasn't required of them giving anything. So it was a voluntary thing, and again, my view is the so you must do also in 1 Corinthians 16 as a command. So there is a distinction made there. As far as the rest of it, is if you make that distinction to its voluntary, voluntary giving, I don't know. I don't think that we can say that it was done on Sunday in Acts 2. I don't think we can say it was done on Sunday in Acts 5. With regard to Acts 6, where the widows were to care for?
Yes.
Acts 6, was that from the many in Acts 5? Probably. I would imagine it is.
So, was 1 Corinthians 16... I'm trying to make sure I phrase this right. Was 1 Corinthians 16 a command about how to collect a voluntary collection they had already volunteered for?
I believe, and again, I don't like putting words in his mouth, but I believe that's Rick's position based on the study I had with him last month. That is, was a how command. Okay, now that you've decided to give, this is how you should do it. But that the decision to give is voluntary, and therefore that leads him down a different path with the lessons to be drawn from the chapter.
And that's because 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 are talking about their promise.
Yes.
So at some point they made a promise.
Yes. And also the 1 Corinthians pattern of saying now concerning this and now concerning that seems to be Paul answering questions that they had sent him.
Yeah. And we know Paul wrote a zeroth Corinthians. He wrote a Corinthians letter before 1 Corinthians, right? We know that. Okay, so to summarize what we said, this wasn't actually part of the question, but with the hypothetical I gave, it obviously must be done, and we're going to do it. We're going to take care of folk. It's practically not really applicable, the hypothetical, but as far as the must be, we're saying that there's only one command that addresses the date. To phrase this next one. Well, here's what I wrote. It's so expedient to do it on the first day of the week, and if you get into some weird situation like the hypothetical, to do it personally, why would you do it differently? That's not really a very satisfying answer to the question, right? Because it's like, well, great, yeah. No one's arguing that. Everyone agrees it's safe to only collect on the first day of the week and to give personally if some weird thing pops up. The question is, are we binding or are we not bound? The next sub-question was an if-no, but we said yes, so we're skipping it. Question number five, I need to keep track of the time. Question number five, are we allowed to have separate dedicated collections? So, let's pretend we don't have $100,000 in the bank, right? And we said, hey, some big something's happened with the preachers in the Philippines or around the world. We need to collect like $10,000. We're gonna pass the basket around and collect for that specifically.
On the first day of the week.
On the first day of the week. So I'll cut that whole hypothetical away. Forget that for a second. There are congregations that pass the basket multiple times during the assembly. They say, hey, we're passing for the general fund like we do every single Sunday, but here's this person. They've just come out of the hospital. They have this massive thing. We're going to pass it again specifically for this individual. Is that okay? And the reason it came up was because 1 Corinthians 16 is for a specific purpose. Like I said before, if people are giving to send money to Judea, lay, buy, and store to send money to Judea, I don't believe it would have been appropriate, and someone can tell me if they think otherwise, I don't believe it would have been appropriate to have taken that money and given it to this guy that was about to go evangelize over here, because it was collected for this purpose.
I will agree with that statement, but I'll kind of push back on the assumption that 1 Corinthians 16 is specifically for the brethren in Judea. They did promise money to the brethren in Judea. Nobody questions that. But we get back to the wording now, the collection for the saints, unless you're saying saints are only in Judea, which we covered last month or the month before. Saints are everywhere saints are. And we have the obligations to meet in the needs of any widows that we may have among feeding preacher who labors among us, then 10:16 is not specifically for the brethren in Judea. It's for fulfilling the obligations of that local congregation in all aspects.
Do you think that verse 3, when he says, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem, are you saying that the gift to Jerusalem was a portion of the money that was being collected on the first day of the week?
Portion. But we also don't know what was in the Zero Corinthians. So.
Well, you can make the same argument. You know, he said, given the first day of the week until I come. So after he came, did they not start collecting? Did they stop collecting on the first day of the week? But he said, collect on the first day of the week so you don't have to make collections when I come. So after he came and picked up the money, did they stop collecting on the first day of the week?
Well, again, that gets back to widows on the roll of creatures that need to be paid.
Right. This one, you know, so you can make the same argument. You say, because he said, collect on the first day of the week so you don't have to make a collection when I come. So then after he came and collected that money, did they stop collecting on the first day of the week?
Well, that also gets back to special collections.
Yeah,
if
I think
they're
it's
collecting weekly for the widows and the preacher, but they're also collecting weekly for the saints of Judea, but it's separate buckets of money.
Right. Okay. I think it's irrelevant in a sense, because what Paul was wanting from them is what they had promised him. And so
yeah.
he was ensuring, again.
That's not like if one Sunday we say, okay, we need this, we've got this need that needs to be met, and we promised this amount, so, you know, all this amount's going to go to what we promised on this Sunday's collection.
And it comes down to constituent elements.
Yeah,
if
right.
If it's a scriptural work that we're considering, we're going about it in the scriptural way, and it's for a scriptural purpose.
Well,
and we have determined that this is how we're going to use the money, and it's a scriptural use of the money, then I would have no problem with it at all, because all of the things that you're doing are scriptural in that regard. In other words, and safe. I mean, some people may have some different things. But again, when we're talking about divisions that have happened among God's people in the past, there are a couple of things that come in. Is one is that we do things for which we have no authority. And you say, no, that's not true. And they say, yes, you do, because you pay the preacher out of the fund, and that was for benevolence. And that's when my argument comes in that regard, is no, that's not the case. I don't use 1 Corinthians 16 to justify the payment of the preacher, because that's not benevolence. That's the work of evangelism. And I use Paul's statement that the laborer is worthy of his hire to justify the preacher. What I go to 1 Corinthians 16 is, how do we raise money? And that's why a general fund, again, it's a scriptural purpose, it's a scriptural deal. If we're to have multiple ones, and okay, you know, we're going to give this amount for the preacher, and then we're going to give this amount for benevolence, and we're going to give this amount for edification, and we pass it three times, if it's on the first day of the week, and it's as your purpose in your heart, and you're generous, and you're loving, and you're cheerful, and you do it not grudgingly, and you do it for a scriptural work, I don't see where there's... It's silly, but
so
I don't see
it. One of the big dangers, I'll tell you a reason that it might not be silly, is that...
you're talking about an emergency.
If you have an indeterminate amount of money that's going to be sent to something. So it's like, hey, we want to, as a congregation, give here. We feel comfortable giving $1,000 out of the general fund. But we're going to pass the basket around for anyone that wants to up that amount that we're giving specifically to this. Whereas some people wouldn't feel comfortable taking $5,000 out of the general fund. That's a case that I've seen. A place I've seen where it's incredibly dangerous is somebody says, hey, I don't feel comfortable supporting that preacher. I can't give him to the general fund because that preacher is being supported out of the general fund. So we need the preacher support to be in a separate basket, bucket of money, because I'm going to give to the general fund, but not to that. And and it's like, well, then just everyone stop and let's talk about that, right?
Yeah,
we have something we need to deal with here.
Definition entirely.
Before you move on to that. Now, I do know also, though, people that have attended at a place called the Church of Christ because they didn't feel comfortable not attending, or attending just the four people in their family. But it was a place that had like a kitchen and stuff. And so they would not give to that congregation because they didn't want to support the kitchen and all that. But they attended that congregation every single week. Things get weird when you get into some of these things.
Yeah.
I find the separate dedicated collections only helpful in that case I mentioned a moment ago, when you don't feel that it's financially wise for the congregation to give more, but if other people have more, it's expedient.
It's also from a perspective. When I was in trade school, I don't know how to ask you, but my teacher said something about he's at some Amish church. And so basically, once on Sunday, he's like, okay, great, you're happy to give to the church. And then it's around saying, all right, it's for, you know, some youth trip. Oh, you must be either around or some other cause. So that's around again, it's for something else. And by the end, he's like, seriously, why do you have to invest in it? I gave you money. And it feels like you're being pressured to give more and more and more. I think from that perspective, it would be wise and expedient to just have it.
Yeah, and change for 100. Give 10, 10, 10, 10. Yeah.
And there are any issues of...
Don't make change out of the basket. People look at you.
Yeah.
No, and if there are those who have issues with where the money is going, then it should be addressed with, okay, let's figure out why there's an issue. Should we change where the money's going versus change how we contribute to that?
Well, that's why you either have trust in your elders, peer elders, or in our case, you have trust in the men when we have mentioned. Whenever we send money, we always have a meeting about it, we decide about it. Or if you have elders, you put your trust and you elect those elders to make those decisions.
Which that brings up another practice that I've seen in institutional churches that basically is the same thing, where the elders make an announcement to the congregation is that we have decided with this third week contribution that the entirety of this contribution is going to be sent directly to the Philippines for their relief from some, you know, benevolent situation or emergency. And that's, again, that's fine to do that. I don't see any problem with it. I don't know why you don't just... You know, as they, the elders are determined to send $3,000 to the, you know, $4,000 or whatever the case may be, and take it out, and the contribution comes in. So I think it's a little bit.
I think part of it is because people give more.
Maybe so. Yeah, maybe so. That's there's some validity, I suppose, to that.
But then you go back to like what Josh was saying earlier, and I'm not thinking as, you know, he said, hey, I stopped at the ATM, get what I'm going to give. Now, if they set the basket on again, it's like, I would have got my money in the first.
Well, have any cash. But the place I went last Sunday, they passed the basket around twice, and I saw people putting pre-written checks in both times. Like they knew.
So they announced
before they showed up, there were going to be two collections. That
yeah. So it wasn't on the spot. It was announced ahead of time they were going to have two collections that Sunday.
And that's kind of what I was thinking was Ian's comment a second ago. That sounded like some confusion was involved there, and we're not supposed to do anything until I start stumps.
We just strive not to confuse.
We strive not to not have confusion and such. So knowing ahead of time the order of things would benefit the congregation in that fashion.
So question number 6. No, I felt a lot more confident about this question when I wrote it. Because we certainly have some people that are doing this. Are you allowed to send your money? In other words, are you allowed to give if you aren't there? Now, this does have implications back to direct deposit, auto draft, things like that.
Well, that's
but it has implications to the people that are sending checks through other people right now.
Since we've determined it doesn't have to be done in the assembly, then, because like you guys said, we get from a few checks in the mail, they send it in the mail, and then on the first day of the week, I'll make sure it gets in the basket from some of our shut-ins. And so, you know, I don't see anything in Scripture that would allow me to object to that.
Well, even if in the assembly is required, there's that distinction between whether they have to be in the assembly when it's being given, because it is being given in the assembly. Again, I think there's some things I'm just willing to leave to the conscience of the individual, and I would be loath to tell the shut-ins that they can't give of their means on the first day of the week because they're not able to come.
This thing get wheeled in a gurney? Yeah, that's a good one too.
That might be against their conscience not to give.
Yeah.
They are part of this. They are part of, still part of our.
Some of these things were.
Let's be careful with that, though. I mean, that's not a valid argument, right? We can't say that people are allowed to do things just because it would violate their conscience. Because we certainly have people that have done things because it would violate their conscience not to, that we've said
they're sinful.
We think are sinful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't see anything that would allow us to say they are in sin.
But there is a point to this as well. I fully agree with you with regard to your conscience doesn't dictate the scripturality of what's being done or not. There are some things when we get into the weeds to where it's difficult for us to be dogmatic about our views in that regard.
Yeah.
The applications. And so in that regard, and I'll say with regard to that as well, it's been typically the practice of this congregation and most congregations that the discussion of specifics with regard to people's giving is a little bit off, off the table. If there is an overt, obvious unwillingness to give, perhaps someone should be admonished. And certainly, if they're not giving as they've been prospered, there is something that's a problem. But at the same time, knowing what that is and being able to be sufficiently aware of what's in the lives of individuals, what burdens they're bearing, or what other things may be present for me to come in and say, you're not giving like you should, and this is what you're required of you, and you need to alter that.
Is there something we should be uncomfortable about?
I think that there is in certain
societal
circumstances. No, I think there is that need for us at least to approach such things with humility and inquire as to circumstances instead of.
Well, and that gets back to the thing like we were talking about before with, auto-draft might hurt your mindfulness. It would be inappropriate for us to go, I can't believe you're auto-drafting. How can you possibly be thinking about it like you should?
Yeah.
When we don't know their heart, we don't know into their intent and things like that. But
yeah,
what you were saying before about being dogmatic about it, I mean, that's where you go, you can easily go, I couldn't do that. But I can't bind on someone else that they can't do that because I don't have something in Scripture that I can point to and say, hey, here's why not. I can point to the passages I read to that make me go, I'm not going to do it, but not that last step.
But I guess in this regard, I'm saying that when I preach from the, when I feel that there's a need to address giving, when I preach it from the pulpit, I'm going to preach the truth, I'm going to preach the principles, I'm going to advocate for generosity and purposefulness and those kinds of things. But I'm not going to go to the back and look through and see what people are giving and find out what the finances are and those kinds of things. And I don't think it would be appropriate for me to do that.
I went to California.
Something I'm constantly questioning myself, much less, how could I make that decision with others? I mean, I'm confident that I'm fulfilling the command, but it's something that I'm always revisiting and asking myself, especially at different stages. We just bought a house. I've been over to my house. It's a nice house. Could we have bought less than that? Yeah, we could have. So am I sinning because I didn't buy, I bought too big a house and now that's money that I can't, I don't think so, or I wouldn't have done it. But at what point, how do we make that decision? And how do you come, and it's again through study.
How do you tell somebody else they made the wrong decision?
Well, exactly. How could you possibly go to someone else and say, if you're not giving it all, there's some obvious things we see. You're probably not doing what you should.
You
could get
money if you didn't have four kids.
Yeah.
but in this regard, I think even in the instructions given in the New Testament, we've got instruction in the New Testament with regard to what is required from the heart. And, there is that concept of generosity and purposefulness which would indicate or impact the amount given. But it still is something that is not regimented as it was in the Old Covenant, which when it was a tithe. And I think there's a reason for that. As you have purposed in your heart, and God loves a cheerful giver, and he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, bountifully will reap bountifully, those are all relative in the sense of, okay, let's put a number on it. And I think God intends for us individually to do that. And I'm going to be a little bit careful to come and say to a person, unless it's extremely obvious, you're not giving it all, or what you're giving is obviously not.
Let me tell you something I saw happen at church. Someone gave every week. And I have no idea how much money they gave. I have no idea how much money they made. Right? I have no mathematical basis to make any determination on that whatsoever. But they also were supporting preachers overseas. And they were told by someone that that was inappropriate. That they should be giving that money into the basket. And the church should be deciding who they're supporting elsewhere. And I find things like that incredibly troubling.
Yeah,
where people are trying to...
mind your own business.
trying to... It's binding where you... it's not bound. But just as troubling is the other side of it, where I saw somebody... Well, I saw somebody. They told me. They felt like they weren't doing enough for God, so they gave more, right? And on the face of it, that sounds good. Except they weren't doing anything for the Lord. But now they were finally giving enough money that they didn't feel guilty for doing nothing in their personal life for the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's a very dangerous thing on the other
side. Sure.
So we certainly had topics we didn't cover. Congregations buy buildings with bonds. People take out personal debt to put money into the basket. There's all sorts of weird permutations out there. But we are done. So again, if somebody can come up with a topic, if we wanted to pick a book, whatever, there's lots of good books, and that they're Bibles, not Revelation. Not allowed to pick it. Pick one of the other books.
A lot of good books, not me.
And
I'm not coming if y'all decide to stay.
And we can rotate who's coordinating. I very much in this thing tried to facilitate, didn't try to lecture or anything like that. And I think that's what we're asking for.
He doesn't like my teaching because I do.
That's what we're asking for on the book thing, is just kind of keep people on topic. If we're supposed to do a chapter a week, make sure we get through with the chapter and don't spend the whole time on the first three verses. And then the next person can have the next chapter. Something else we talked about in the men's meeting when we set up this class was that we were going to readdress whether we thought we wanted to keep it monthly, because the one we had ages ago was weekly, and we did this one monthly, and we just said we would bring it back up. I personally have no strong feeling either way. I'm not saying to answer that question right now. I'm reminding everyone of things that we need to do.
You mentioned James and 1 Peter. You want to start with one of those? It's a shorter book, so if we decide we don't like the format, we can always change. But we'll start with 1 Peter 1 next month.
I'm fine with that.
Only if you'll facilitate.
I'll facilitate.
I'm fine with 1 Peter. I feel weird if we did 1 Peter and then didn't do 2 Peter.
I think I'm going to be at a town this second Sunday next month.
I would suggest that if Dick becomes available again, that we entertain pausing 1 Peter to look at whatever he's wanting to go.
I think it's going to be a while before he's going to be capable if he ever is again. I think it would be nice to spend some time doing what he wants to if he's able to come.
Josh, what's the question if we're okay? About starting 1 Peter or starting 1 Peter with rotation?
I think
the question was with rotation.
Like, I'm only starting it.
And not requiring
Josh is only.
Okay, I just want to understand.
Josh is only signing up for chapter one. We need someone to sign up for chapter two.
Right. Well, and again, my way of facilitating might be a little more or less involved than somebody else's facilitation.
Like, let's read verses 1 through 5. Who would like to read? I'm facilitating. You, okay.
You
they get done reading it. Well, y'all think about that.
Well, that is more what I'm thinking. Now, I'm going to have some preparation in case I say, what do y'all think? And, you know, you stare at me for 5 minutes, but to get the discussion going.
Yeah,
but that's kind of, you know,
make
what
it
do you
at
think?
Least
what,
2 minutes.
What can we get from these verses? What do we, you know, what is,
yeah,
what is
don't
Peter
say what
teaching
he
us?
Thinks. It's what is, it
what
teaching
is teacher, Peter teaching you? Well, yeah.
What? So what do you think about that, brother? It says what it says. Okay, let's go on to the next verse.
What do you think about what he thought?
I agree. That sure did say
all right,
what
guys,
it said.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Turn this off.